Dette Raffinert, en podcast fra Bitraff. I dag snakker vi med Coca Nicoladze, som en kjent komponist, som prater engelsk og har laget en slags synthesizer slash beatbox.
Do you want me to play a jingle?
Oh, could you?
Yeah, sure. All right, let's play a jingle. No humor in the moment, just a complicated piece of course. Do-do-do-do-do, I mean me non-believer more. Digitally my... I think this is enough.
Ah, that's perfect, that's perfect.
Yeah, let's have this as a
jingle. Can we use that as the intro thing?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
We'll use it as the jingle for this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I also want to ask you a favor, actually.
Go ahead.
Because the... like the intro jingle for Refined. Oh, this is the podcast is called Raffinert.
Mm-hmm.
Refined, I guess.
Yes.
The jingle is very hacky. It's like I literally walked into the common area and asked, "Does anyone know how to play guitar?"
Yes.
And this German guy, I assume, mm-hmm. he was like, "Yeah, I know some guitar," and he came running in mm-hmm. and he played some stuff. And it was like Bossa Nova.
Yes.
Which is fine, but I feel like it's not in the spirit of the podcast.
Yes.
You had something about code.
Yeah.
Where did you get that lyric, by the way?
I wrote it.
Did you now?
Yes.
That's a great introduction. Let's start with that.
Yeah.
Coca Nicoladze.
Yo.
You are an... This is the third time we're doing this.
Yes.
But you know what they say, third time's the charm.
Exactly.
You know, my greatest fear right now is that I will not be sincere when I ask you questions.
Yeah, so let me do that.
You want to ask me questions?
Yes.
Oh my God, role reversal.
Yeah, yeah.
Please, go ahead.
Let's do that.
I'm so interested.
All right, so...
Oh, you don't have any questions.
No.
You see, it's not that easy. It's hard.
Wait, no, man... I have a lot of questions.
You have
actually.
Questions for me? All right, go ahead.
Questions. I have a lot of questions. But it's just, you know, whenever you ask to pick a question, it's like, where do you start?
Can be an electronics question.
An electronics question? Oh, by the way, it's not a question.
What is an ideal diode?
It's a short story.
Okay.
But I love the way electronics... Is it electronics engineers or electronic engineers?
I don't know. I don't think that's like a Norwegian thing. I feel like all Americans are electronics engineers.
Electronics engineers.
I want to put an S on there.
Yes.
But I also sometimes put an F. I mean an yeah. S at the end of a muffins. That's
oh,
a very
right.
Norwegian
yes.
thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
A muffins.
Yes.
It doesn't make
a
sense.
Muffins.
A
yeah.
caps.
Yeah,
a
exactly.
tanks.
Exactly.
It's plural.
Yeah.
It's
but
wrong.
Anyway, like. I love the way how electronics engineers, some of the electronics engineers' minds work. It's like, right now we had an electronics problem,
mm-hmm.
which was about finding a diode that would have a very low dropout voltage.
Right.
And then the question was, is there a diode that has less dropout voltage?
Yes.
And then the answer was, no, there isn't such. And then at some point someone was... But yeah, there is such thing as a perfect diode.
Ideal diode, exists. Yeah.
Ideal diode,
well,
yeah. But it's
so,
not
okay.
a diode. It's something else.
It is.
But it works as a perfect diode.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
But
it
yeah,
is.
Doesn't it? Yeah, okay.
It is a diode. Well, it's... The function
no,
is
no,
a diode.
No, it doesn't exist. No, no.
No, but if you have a PN transition... I don't think it can go lower than 0.5.
Okay, let's not go into those details.
Is it
like,
not the topic of,
it
the,
does exist.
Of the podcast?
It does exist. And everybody was saying that it didn't for like half an hour. And then
yeah.
at some point,
It was you who was saying it doesn't exist. And then at some
point we were in agreement. I asked Magnus, like, can you go any lower than 0.5 volts?
Oh, right. And then, so it means that it takes two electronics engineers. So you absolutely need to agree with someone that it exists unless you confess.
It's okay, but this is... it's so strange. Right.
Yeah.
So, should we go into the what an ideal diode is?
No, you should introduce me first.
Yes. Again. For the fourth time.
Third time.
Yes, but we started and then
It's the fourth time.
Tangent. So. Let's then do you that. Play the intro song and Koka, you are so if I were to describe you, I would say you are you're very famous for your videos, your beatbox videos.
Tall and handsome.
Ha. Was that far enough away for you?
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Tall and handsome, and famous for beatbox videos. I want to say you're a famous composer. I've not seen you compose.
Yes. Well, if you say I'm a famous composer, that means that I've achieved my destiny. or I've reached my goal.
Oh, so you can,
No. It's
you
just,
mean you can die now?
Yeah, exactly. So when you're a composer, you become famous. Then you just die. You terminate.
Can you make that jingle first, though? No, I'm just kidding. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the thing in your hand.
Yes.
Which is not the guitar, but what is it? Is it a synthesizer or is it a...
No, I prefer to call it, you know, there can be a lot of technical names that you can come up with, but there are some names that make a lot of sense to you. So for me, this is my pocket beatbox.
Right,
And pocket beatbox is the best way of describing this.
So it makes beats.
Device, yes. Or you can make beats with this device. This device is your friend. And it's something that you like. It's something that you want to spend your time with. It's
a work of art, I have to say. Well, just the look of it, just from the outside, it looks really great. I know a little bit about the inside as well, since we're working together on this project.
Yes. Well, you know quite a lot, actually.
More than most.
You know more than me.
Oh, well, no, I don't know about that. But okay, so to the audience listening, how would you describe this?
Right. So this is a pocket-sized device that you can carry in your jeans pocket. Skinny jeans pocket, yes. I've had some devices that were advertised as pocket-sized devices, and at the end of the day, they never fit in my jeans pocket, you know? So now this one will fit in my jeans pocket. It's a small box which has four pads on the front.
Looks like solar panels on the front.
Yes. I actually like these sensors. I like the way they look. I was planning to make my own sensors for this, but then I changed my mind. Anyway, it has at the moment it has three rotary encoders, which are also clickable. They are endless encoders.
Right. So a rotary encoder, for those who doesn't know, what is that?
Those are like things you turn and they change.
Just turn and turn and turn.
Yeah, and they turn and turn and turn, and they click like 20 to 30 times per one revolution. This is for like menu diving, etc. And then you have a tiny 7-segment display, a tiny 3-digit 7-segment display. And you have a lot of connectors on the sides.
Right.
You also have batteries in the back, because this is a battery powered device that you can also power with USB, but and so this is kind of a standalone sampler that you can carry with you and that you can use for finger drumming whenever you want.
Right. You've mentioned two things now, and we've discussed this at length, but I'm still not sure about it. So is it a synthesizer or is it a sampler?
Right. So synthesizers are electronic music instruments, devices that generate sound by using, you know, like oscillators and filters and envelopes, etc. So in a synthesizer, sound is synthesized. Yeah, even though people have been using that term, just throwing the term around to can describe we add a most lot of electronic music equipment.
You can know? We add a lot of reverb when we say the word synthesized?
Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Yeah, yeah. No. All right. So, but then a sampler is a device where you where you somehow place your samples, and then when you push a pad or you know press your key, it will play a corresponding sound. It will play back a corresponding recording of your sample.
Right, which is a real instrument typically that you sample, or
well, it can be anything. Mm. Like when I believe that in early stages, when sampling became available,
back in the '70s.
Yeah, I don't exactly know when it became available. Like my colleagues will probably sue me for this. I should remember, but anyway, when sampling became available, there was a big. People had big expectations, and they thought that it would replace acoustic music world. They thought that all pianos would be samplers, or all grand pianos would be samplers. All, like, at some point people would produce electronic whatever violin controllers with those sampler engines inside, etc. So they really thought that sampling would take over, which it did, but differently. You know, it just created genres, and it created cultures. So anyway, let's not go into that. Yeah, so sampler is a thing that plays sounds that you
basically,
somehow place
it
into
doesn't
it.
Synthesize it. It's just plays it back.
It plays it back, and then but it can play your sounds back in lots of different ways, right?
Yeah, right.
And
you
then
can do things with it. The sampled
totally,
sound,
totally,
and like pitch shift.
Yeah, you can do all sorts of stuff. You can process your sound in many different ways, and well, and there are devices that do both. They are synthesizers and samplers, and
right,
they
right.
combined. Some synthesis techniques and some sampling techniques in very unique, creative symbiosis of, I don't know, yeah. So
right.
it's like...
But this is a sampling beatbox.
This is a sampler beatbox.
A sampler beatbox.
Well,
so it will not generate any sound from scratch.
I will, because
you
I
will.
Love synthesizing sounds. Yes,
right.
Yes,
how,
it's very entertaining.
How will you do that? Because this one has a lot of processing power, right?
This one has a lot, and yes.
More than necessary, I think.
Well, that's what you think.
That's
but
what I think.
I have a lot of experience on working with computers, and then most of the time when I get creative and start making whatever, like start making a new synthesizer, start making whatever new patch, something, it grows and it grows and it grows to the extent where the processing power is not enough. I mean, well, of course you can then rewrite your code and reduce it, well, there are some instruments that would require a lot of processing power. Like, let's say, physical modeling, right?
Right,
so
right.
Physical modeling is a technique of, or is a way of modeling acoustic music instruments digitally, and then interfacing with them somehow and playing them.
With the MIDI controller.
Well, with whatever controller.
Yeah, okay, right.
Yeah, you can just make your own controller, or you can use a MIDI keyboard, whatever. You can play with your mouse. But one thing is that some physical modeling synthesizers, they need a lot of processing power. It depends on how complex...
I just have to take your word for it.
...is your model, right?
Right.
So, and generally, it's a good thing to have enough headroom.
Right. So more is more when it comes to the processing power in a synthesizer.
And
well,
one,
if you want to
Yes, and one other thing is, I guess if I had a big company that was you know, producing synthesizers, etc., like very commercially oriented, then I would go for low cost approach, and then probably for every specific project I would just invest into making it as cost efficient and as resource efficient as possible. But you know, when you're thinking of putting together a small or mid-sized company, and you're investing a lot of your time into developing something, you wouldn't want to change a lot of variables if you will produce something else in the future, right? So the thing is, like, if I want to make another device, another synthesizer, I can reuse maybe 90% of my schematic, right?
Because this is based... Can you say what is based on?
No, let's not say that.
Okay,
please.
All right.
No.
Okay, yes. Answer me this. How is the processing power compared to other synthesizers?
Right. So there...
Do you know that?
Yes. There... you know, since Raspberry Pis and Arduinos and Teensys and all these microcontrollers and single board computers became available to larger audiences, people exploded with creativity. And it's like there are so many open source designs on the internet. There are people making commercial stuff with these little computers. And so, but then I see a very clear pattern of people using either single board computers like BeagleBones and Raspberry Pis, which are quite powerful, actually.
Yeah, and pretty much. So.
Yeah, and there are many great projects that are made with basically Linux computers, right? And then there are other projects like a bit more, like, I would say. Yeah, let's not label anything. It's like there are other great projects that use like Arduino kind of microcontrollers.
But when talking about...
Those are, of course, much more limited. Then there's something in between, like Teensy, right? Mm-hmm. It falls in between Arduino domain, where you basically are limited to generating sound with whatever PWM, like pulse width modulation, etc., or like Raspberry Pi, which is basically a Linux-based computer, and you can do a lot of stuff with it. So, but then, so there, for me, like I see this as a gradation. You know, it's like Arduinos, then Teensys, like better.
Right.
Microcontrollers and then Raspberry Pi. And so mine falls somewhere in between Raspberry Pi and Teensy in a way.
Yeah. Right.
Because
it's powerful. That's what you're saying.
It is very powerful. Yeah. So it is very powerful, and at the same time, it has. Well, there are several aspects that I really love about it. Like one is the immediacy of like turning it on and it being on, you know, every time I have to use a Raspberry Pi based device, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
This you have to unplug the USB power.
Yes. And then those can't run on batteries for long. It's like they're really inefficient, etc. And with with microcontrollers, like if you go a little bit more towards the Teensy side, you can still get a lot of processing power, but you can run those chips on batteries for hours and hours and hours.
Those Teensys are really getting powerful these days.
They're getting powerful. Yep. Teensy 4.0, I think, the new one. Or no, sorry, it's not 4.0. Yeah. It is 4.0. Mm. It has some really impressive processing power. Mm. It's amazing.
Yeah. And it's in a microcontroller configuration. It's not a system on chip.
Yes.
So you don't... it's all like... It all boots instantly and there's not a real issue with... you don't have like a complete operating system and all that.
No, you don't. But then you're also limited in many different directions, right?
So it's hard to get a big screen and a desktop environment.
It's super hard to get a big screen. It's hard to get extra memory. It's like, yeah, it complicates your life in many different ways. But if you get used to working with this like limited resource, then, you know, sometimes limitations can trigger
creativity. Yeah, you need to have a canvas, you know, paint inside the canvas.
Yes. So, right. So there is a powerful processor inside, for sure.
Great, great. Okay, so how would this fit into, like, when do you take this device out of your pocket and use it?
It's a very good question. Now, one thing that it's useful for is if you want to practice finger drumming and then maybe finger drum in your studio or on stage or in public, maybe you're a street
as a performance
finger
thing?
Drummer. Yep, yeah, sure. Right. It's
that would be a great thing to be like a
street finger drummer.
Yeah. You could be that guy. Could you be that guy?
Yeah, sure. Once in a while.
As a guerrilla marketing type of stunt and
make
a viral video.
Yeah. That could be a nice video for sure. Yeah, but I mean, they're like I've been fascinated with street performers.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen so many of them, and I've admired their performance. So it's like, I mean, street performance is a whole, like, it's just a different world. And whenever it comes to imagining myself as a good street performer, I wouldn't even dare to enter the domain. I mean,
well,
there are people.
There are
that
some
like,
really bad ones as well. You could be one of those guys. Yeah.
You know, I love those that just play music in a speaker.
Yeah.
On the street.
Have you seen the guy up the street who's sitting on his speaker playing like old
Norwegian songs?
Yeah, old
Jesus
football
Christ.
Songs.
It's like that
blasting
is
that thing.
One moment, like, I can say I'm most of the time I'm very empathetic to people.
Right.
But that's just one point where I don't have any resource of empathy. It's just, why are you doing this, Majesty?
Good job, dude. Pressing that play button. Just, you're like a DJ.
Yeah, it makes me angry. I don't know makes me angry. Yeah. Yes. So
okay, but back to the problem at hand, sir.
Yeah. But then one more thing is that you can use this in your this could also be seen as as kind of a Swiss Army knife.
Okay.
Because you can hook up a couple of more things that might be very inspiring and useful. I don't want to go into details,
how do you hook this up anyway? There's a bunch of outputs.
Yes, there's a bunch of outputs. Let's not talk inputs and outputs, I would say. Let's not talk about all of them at the moment. Let's just keep this behind the curtain.
Okay.
One thing is,
can you say like one place?
But one important thing, it has a USB-C port, which is, it's USB 2.0. But
I love USB-C.
Yeah, it's
everything
a great connector.
Everything should be USB-C.
It's a great connector.
Yeah.
So it has a USB-C port. I'm doing my best to put a USB-A port on the side.
Really?
Yes.
In addition?
Yes, which means that you'll be able to power it with your USB-C port. You'll be able to use it as a MIDI controller, interface it with your computer, laptop, whatever. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to interface it with your hardware, MIDI equipment, with MIDI outputs.
Right. So we can power like a MIDI controller.
Yes, and it will also have MIDI inputs so that you can use so you can do MIDI through in case you have a network of MIDI devices. But then one important thing is that I really want to make this into a USB host as well.
Yeah.
So that you can have a USB-A connector on the side.
Yeah,
that'd
be cool.
You can hook up other MIDI controllers to it and use the internal synth engine. One thing is that even with some limited resource, you can do great stuff with your code.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically all that resource and all that code is just a way for you to be creative, right? In one way or another.
Yeah.
And then great ideas, I don't mean that I have great ideas. I just mean that generally, like great ideas, they sometimes don't need much resource at all. And when it comes to the internal synth engine and sampling, let's go back to sampling once again. Like, it's unimaginable how much you can do with single samples. Let me break it down.
Break it down for me now.
So, imagine that you have a sample of a snare drum.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of a, right? And then imagine that you just... you know, trigger that sample many times, and it plays back and back and back again, and then you hear the this like very artificial digital, very repetitive. Like it's the same every time, right?
And it always stops whenever you press it again. It stops and it starts a new thing.
Yeah, well, it can be polyphonic as well.
Okay,
but so you've got this kind of repetitive snare, and then there are so many techniques of animating that snare.
Okay.
So just using a simple filter with a random number generator, or random number generators, and animating or and writing algorithms to trigger some sort of behavior of that filter on every stroke means that it will be slightly different every other time you trigger it, and that and then when you refine these techniques and when you perfect them, you can actually make digital sounds feel extremely organic.
Okay.
And when that's when you play them and when you hear them.
Want, right?
Well, you know, I love digital aesthetics, mm-hmm. right? So I love working with digital synthesizers, and I love so I'm pretty much into it, and I don't have anything against if every other snare is the same as the previous one. Mm-hmm. You know, so. I've listened to some 8-bit music as well. I mean, I love 8-bit music.
I mean, the NES, the Nintendo sound.
Exactly,
it's pretty good. You know,
yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. And some artists
it's not
take
even
this
polyphonic.
To...
I'm guessing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. Let's not go into that. But there are some individuals that take this, like, that embrace this limitation of digital world and make this into something extremely beautiful and something that has depth, something that has meaning, etc. But on the other hand, there has been like there have been people that put in a lot of effort into making those digital sounds sound like more organic or more lively.
Right.
And that is very difficult. That is quite hard. That requires a lot of taste, which I feel I lack. So actually, every other time I feel I have to talk to my artist friends and like discuss, like, does this sound good? Is this good enough, etc. And then I then when I'm convinced in that this is good, then I go home and I have this anxiety period where I'm like, oh Jesus Christ, no, this won't work. No, this
that's
is shit.
The sign of a celebrity. No. If you have a lot of anxiety, that means then you're definitely famous.
If you say that, it's where's my red carpet, man? I feel miserable most of the time. I don't feel famous. No, but that's what you said. You said that if you feel miserable.
Haven't you seen like the heard the stories of Instagram people, like their Instagrams are like perf.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Then you run into the, I mean, I don't run into them on the street, people run into them on the street, and they're like, oh my god, I just broke up with my, you know.
Yes, but I absolutely believe
cat or whatever.
Even though we have, you know, each and every one of us has this ego thing, right? And then I don't believe there is a person who wouldn't have this spike of excitement of like, you know, if one becomes famous, even temporarily, like for 2 seconds. But then I think that like long-term fame is a curse.
Okay, right.
It's the worst curse. It's one of the worst.
But wait a minute, Koka. Didn't you say like the people that are on top in the music industry are the people making the instruments, Wah, wah. You're going to be on top, man, once this instrument is done.
No, they're not. Well, they're probably...
Sure you can handle
some
thing?
Of those people are people that earn the most money, for sure.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Well, what I meant is that, you know, it's interesting. Like, now technology became so democratized, right? There was this entire process of making it available to public, and now so many people have access to building instruments, including embedded with embedded microcontrollers, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that now some of the small companies that release those instruments one after another, they're not releasing instruments, but they are rather releasing these weird albums or records. It's like, it reminds me of this culture of releasing a record once in a while, you know? Yeah, because I don't really see a lot of people making some, you know, great mind-blowing music, whatever, with those instruments, but I see a lot of people experiencing those instruments and like really caring about those instruments.
That's
and then,
interesting.
Having a relationship with those instruments, you know, and playing them once in a while and being in this creative process of exercising the instruments, you know. It's like,
so it's like a weird form of consumerism.
It's a new form of releasing records,
right.
You know, you just release because a new modular synthesizer unit, or you release a new whatever digital sampler or
so
something.
So you want to release an album now?
Yeah, it's kind of an album because it comes in an in its own aesthetic package, right? So you can play it in a limited way, and most probably it will come with the with a big sample bank that will be
already included.
Yeah, exactly. And that will be like how should I say this? This will be like, this won't be a record of mine or an album of mine, but it will rather be a Lego set.
Right.
For others to make, like, produce and also experience.
Well, I have we need to wrap this up, but I have one final question for you.
Go ahead.
And that is, so you're going to be making a sample pack for this instrument. Is that what you're saying?
Well, most probably, yes.
How are you going to do that?
Well, sampling is
something
that...
Download something online?
Yeah.
808 sound pack, sample pack?
No.
Free download? No?
Well, yeah. I mean, sampling is like, I've been collecting sample banks since I remember myself with a computer.
Oh, really?
Yes. So I've been really obsessed with like collecting.
Gotta hook me up with some of that.
Sure. And I mean, sampling is an art form.
Is it?
Yeah. Man, it's just amazing. And it's unimaginable how different small objects sound when you amplify them. Like when you glue them to a contact microphone and you play them with a needle. It's incredible how that microscopic... Like, have you ever... Like, oh, I just remembered. Mariam, my wife, she took me to a place called Micropia or Microbia in Amsterdam.
Okay.
That's a zoo of microbes.
Microbes?
Yeah. Yes.
What is a microbe?
Oh, microbes. It's tiny organisms and tiny things like those things.
And
that
you took your Zoom player and you recorded this?
No. It's a zoo of it's a zoo that you have to, where you have to observe animals in a microscope.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the microbes, the small tiny creatures that are all around. Or small tiny organisms, or I don't even know how to talk about microbes, but you know, like stuff that you see, like stuff that lives on your skin.
Oh, don't remind me.
No, that's a bit creepy. But then, you know, things that live out there in the world, they are amazing. It's like, you know, the way they look and the way they behave, it's like, that's a magical world. Like, imagine if you ate a plateful of mushrooms and you went out tripping.
You mean,
know,
like shrooms?
Billion miles away.
This is a family show, man.
That is probably, those are probably the types of creatures you would observe, right, in this other dimension. So that's kind of the microscopic world that surrounds us, but we don't see. But when we look at that world, we're fascinated because it's fascinating, right? It's kind of a world that is around us, but that we don't see with our naked eye.
And that and so, is... So I just want to...
Yeah, go ahead.
And that is what you are trying to bring out with sounds?
Yes. There are these tiny little sounds everywhere.
Okay, so
produce. And then you need the right tools. But then when you sample them, and when you listen to them, and when you come to a realization that, oh, Jesus Christ, this tiny little thing sounds so huge, or so big, or so impressive, or so inspiring, or so human, or so artificial, or etc. It's kind of, yeah, so it's very, very inspiring and entertaining.
Yeah.
So I'm most probably going to make several kits, like microscopic kits with...
I just had an idea. Can you sample one of your beatboxes or some of your beatboxes and put that on there?
Yeah, sure. But I mean,
that wasn't a good idea. Whenever you say sure like that, that's like, oh yeah, sure, I'll amuse
let me like think of it in this way. What beat machines do, they have just a limited number of objects that that I managed to mount onto them, and so they trigger them themselves, or they hit them themselves, and so they produce sounds, they play rhythms. But then in order to sample those objects, you don't need a beat machine. You can actually take those objects and sample them individually. And when I manage to place 5 objects on a beat machine in a certain configuration, I go through this lengthy process of designing the entire box, and I don't have to do that when I'm sampling small objects.
Right,
I can
just
run around with the microphone and try out many different things. So I'll most probably be making a couple of libraries, and I have already reached out to a couple of friends of mine who are amazing at sampling. And so
they're
amazing samplers. And they will be, who are amazing artists, actually.
Okay.
So it's all about meaning of those sample bags, right? So there's shitloads of sounds you can download from the internet. But that's not the point. I want this thing to come with meaning.
But it's also the process of curating that, though, isn't there? Because there's so many, and you don't want to listen through all of that stuff. You want something that is good, like good quality stuff.
No, sure.
Right?
But, one thing is that this thing will have an SD card slot on the side. So you manage your samples on your SD card. And this will come with pre-recorded libraries, X amount of libraries. But then you can, of course, go ahead and make your own libraries and possibly keep it for yourself or share it with the community, etc. I don't know how I'll manage this entire process, but this will be interesting.
Yeah.
One thing that I really... So I'm skeptical in so many regards, and I'm not sure about anything at the moment, but what I really like about it and what I'm sure about is that it's limiting. I love the proportion of possibilities and limits in this device.
Yep.
So I think this is a golden proportion here, and this is why I want to carry it with me all the time. I'm actually practicing with the prototype most of the time. Yep. I'm exercising I'm kind of
your
working out my
skills.
Finger drumming skills, but I really want to have a complete device and carry it around with me all the time.
But let's get that made.
I'll
help out.
Let's get that made. And actually, I really have to mention this: your support here is absolutely invaluable. Like for
it's
those
not invaluable.
Who don't know,
you pay me for it.
I do, but it's invaluable in terms of how how much you're contributing to the project. I mean, yeah. And one more thing is, like, let me just take over this podcast. Like,
you're doing a great job at that.
Yeah, one thing which is great at Bitruff is that you meet so many creative individuals that are willing to contribute, right? Mm. And even if I'm paying you for this project, you've helped me out with so many things in the past that it's like, I believe that I wish I could pay more, because I think at the moment it's rather symbolic. Yeah. I don't really know. It's
so. Honestly, I can't believe I'm getting paid for this. You know, this kind of work.
I can't believe I'm doing this kind of work. So I think we're both excited.
Yeah,
to a certain extent.
Well, today was free. It was in exchange for this podcast. So
yeah, well, that's cool. That's
thank
cool.
you very Thanks. Much.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's it.
Let's repeat the introduction jingle here.
You gonna play the song again?
No, no. You just
the outro
copy
song?
And paste it. Otherwise, you have to pay me.
All right, man.
Right. I'll play a single note
Thank
for
you.
Free.
It's out of tune.
A single note can't be out of tune.
Bye.